Let's all say amen. That song was so good, I wanted to keep singing it, but I know I can't sing that over and over again. Yeah, I'll leave that to the song today. Amen. I want to say good morning to everyone. And welcome those that are listening and those that are in the audience. We want to welcome you this morning to worship with us here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, where we want to share the word of God with you. As the song was saying, we keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. For those of us that are Christians, God blesses us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, with spiritual blessings. And I want to say to those, one that may be in the audience this evening, or this morning, excuse me, and you're not a Christian, we'll say this in the text also, that my love for the Lord must be coupled with obedience to God in order for God to bless me. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, I want to say to you, it's my responsibility my delivering of God's word that you hear the gospel, you understand what the gospel is, and what your response is to the gospel. And I'll do that at the close of our message on this morning. And I want to say also, I've been excited. I've been sharing about getting into this study of Paul's letter to Timothy. And so I'll be, when I come up before you, I'll be speaking from the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And so we want to look at, begin on 1 Timothy this morning. And I want to say that there are three topics that are dominant in these letters to Timothy that are applicable to us today. And one is church doctrine. It's important that we understand about church teaching. But also in the letter, Paul is going to talk about church organization. We need to understand how God has organized the church with elders, with deacons, with those that are served in various capacities. Amen? And then, as important is in the letter, Paul talks about church life, how to live as a Christian. Yeah, how to live as a Christian. We're going to notice things with which Timothy was confronted with as the minister, because Paul wrote this letter to the preacher. And we're going to give them present day application. It does little good to teach a first century message without giving it a 21st century application. Amen? Yeah, I want us to understand when God, through the Holy Spirit, that it had inspired men to write the Bible. The Bible, when it was written, is as up to date as tomorrow's world news tonight. Yeah, you getting it from the Lord, because understand this, when Paul penned that letter to Timothy for the situation he was in, that those are applications to us today. God knew that there was going to be a coronavirus in 2019. We didn't know it. Yeah. God knew that. And God wrote it understanding that. God knew. When Paul wrote that letter, we can make application that these doors, I'm going to talk about that in my message, these doors are going to be closed for 2 years. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to assemble here for a full 2 years. We're going to talk about what can happen to that. But also, I want to go ahead and put my message up this morning. Yeah, we're ready for our message. You put it up. Yeah. Back up a little bit. Yeah. I'm learning in my walk with the Lord, it's necessary to remain calm.
Yes, sir.
It's necessary as a Christian that you learn how to be calm and allow things to frustrate you. We're human. Amen?
Right.
And we work with humans. So we got to learn to be calm with one another. We'll talk about that in the text. But I want us to know this. That's my subject title this morning. And I think I was talking to a brother, and I was saying that normally when I give a subject title, and I'll say this to us, that I normally like to keep my subject title about 10 words or less. 10 words or less. Somebody said, Brother Brown, that wasn't 10 words. I know that is. I can count. Yeah. But understand this. In that subject title that's taken from the text this morning, if successfully acquired, it has eternal salvation as its conclusion. That's why I had to include, Paul said, the end of the commandment is love. But then he gave three characteristics of how love is shown. So I couldn't just stop it at 10 words. It's out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Yeah. If you have these three characteristics in your life and they're active, you are going to heaven. Yeah. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got these three, you are on your way. But now notice I said you got to acquire these things. Yeah. That's why my subject is so long this morning. Because I want us to understand. I couldn't say it. The end of the commandment is tear it out of a pure heart and stop right there. Because not only do you have to have a pure heart, but you got to have a conscience that's good. Now all of us got consciences, but they got to be good. And you got to have faith that's unfeigned. But we're going to find that in the text this morning. Amen? Let us look at God. Well, I've been excited to get up here and start this lesson, my study, just studying the Word of God and then trying to make application to it. But not only that, I want to give, as I said, it's my responsibility when I stand before you is to make this what was written in the first century. It has to have 21st century application in order for it to bless you. If not, all it was a letter written 2,000 years ago. Paul began his letter identifying himself. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Paul said in the text that God is the designer of our man's salvation. However, Jesus Christ is the instrument in man's salvation. He says, which is our hope. And then Paul said, he wrote this letter to Timothy. Timothy, we'll see in the text. He said, my own son in the faith. He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Three things that a Christian needs, all of us need. We need grace, mercy, and we need that. Grace is favorable regard for the guilty. All of us are guilty of sin. Grace is God's favor toward us. Mercy is an outward showing of sympathy, sometimes to one another. And then peace in the text is a pleasing relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can't have peace unless you have a relationship with God, and you can't have a relationship with God unless it's through Jesus. Yeah, some people say, well, I got peace, but you don't have peace that the Bible is talking about. Because that peace is based on a relationship. Now, I want to talk about relationship a little bit, because Paul wrote to Timothy this letter. Now, I want to say something. We got to make application to this here. In Acts chapter 16, the reason I give scripture anyway, the reason I put it up here, because I understand that sometimes people have different versions of the Bible. Some people have New International Version, another version, but I teach from the King James Version. So in order for you to understand what I'm teaching for, I put it up so you can see it. Now, sometimes we're going to go to some texts. We're going to do it this morning because I want you to do something. We're studying the Word of God together, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. We are studying together to show ourselves approved unto God. But the only way we become approved unto God is when we apply those things that we study. Amen? But the Bible says, Luke wrote, then came he, talking about Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. The Bible says, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. What are you saying, Rashad? You having some families today where one member is a member of the Church of Christ, and the other member is not. Yeah, you have that. You have that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we find from the text that Timothy followed his mother and became a Church of Christ preacher. Yeah, because sometimes in a family, you have to be careful that when you're in a family and one may be denominational and the one may be a member of the Church of Christ, who that child gonna follow?
Amen.
Yeah. But we got Bible for the text that Timothy. And now notice what it says. People talk too. Y'all know people talk. Because the Bible said, which was well reported of by the brethren, which that were at Lystra and Derbe. Now, Timothy, he was from Lystra, but Derbe was about 75 miles or more away from him. People talk. News travel. Now, remember, they didn't have no automobiles back then. But that information got to them, and the people were talking. Man, you know, his mother obeyed the Lord, but his daddy, he out there. Yeah. Dad ain't never obeyed. Yeah, I know it. We'll talk about that later on the text. But at the beginning, I wanted to show to us that sometimes you have that in the family where one may be faithful and the other one maybe not. And I'm going to say this. Even in a house where both people are Christian, that does not mean that both of them are faithful.
Amen.
Yeah. But as a parent, your responsibility is to obey God rather than, yeah. So it's your responsibility. We talk about that when we get to that part in the letter. Timothy talked about how he was raised up. You have to teach. The most important thing you can teach your child is the Word of God.
Amen.
Secular education has its importance. Amen. Oftentimes, our monetary gain is based on education. We know that. However, don't have a child making all the money in the world and on his way to hell.
Amen.
Because he won't obey God and you haven't taught them the Word of God. For some of us, the most important thing to us is that our child go to school. Yeah, just going to school is important. Yeah, but that takes second seat to you coming to the school you need to come to first, and that's Sunday school.
There you go.
Bible says, him. Would Paul have to go forth with him? And the Bible says, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Sometimes you do stuff to keep mess down. Even as a Christian, sometimes you do stuff to keep stuff down. Now, the Bible says that him, talking about Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him? And I want to say to all of us today, Timothy was a comrade or a companion of Paul. A comrade is a person that is a close friend that you have to share things with. This person will go anywhere with you and be by your side through it all. Let me qualify this now. This person is a Christian that will encourage you to do that which is right in the eyesight of God. Yeah. My closest friend can't be no non-Christian, because that non-Christian can't help me obey God because they haven't obeyed God. So be careful about your close friend. This close friend that Paul had, Timothy, became a Christian and a preacher. And I'm saying all of us, we all need a companion like this. Yeah. Now that companion may be your wife, may be your husband. You need somebody that's going to encourage you to be faithful to God. Living in these times, any of us, the wind can stop blowing in our sails. Life will do that. Yeah. And so I need somebody that can help me and start the wind blowing again in my boat. For my ship can keep sailing as it need to. Paul had that person. That person was Timothy. The Bible said that Paul would have him notice to go forth. We are there with each other. You need somebody that's going to be there through the thick and. Yeah. And let me encourage us. Find somebody that you can have, that can serve as that companion and that friend. The Bible says, Paul said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. I want you to remain in Ephesus. I want you to be the minister there. He said, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So remember, we talked about doctrine was one of the things he talked about. He said, now, I want you, the word charge here means command them. They don't teach no other doctrine. See, not only that, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. He said, with minister questions rather than edifying, godly edifying, which is in faith. He said, so do. Paul told Timothy, he said, man, don't you be listening to people, because you got members that make statements that ain't true. Yeah. Yeah. That's what he told Timothy. And that applies, what is it, October the what? Second? That applies October the 2nd, 2022. Yeah. You got members. The word fable means statements that are not true. You got members that say stuff that ain't true. Paul said, don't listen to that stuff. And then also he talked about endless genealogies. And let me say this here. The word genealogies has to do with family history. But I want to say this here to us, because sometimes it's not family history, but it's cultural history. To the Christian, make sure your Christianity influences you more than your ethnicity. Some say Black Lives Matter, and they do. However, God says all souls matter. Well, that's that in the Bible, so I'm glad you asked that question. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with, we know a culture matter. But when Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, 9, he said, Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is concerned about every soul. Yeah. So be careful now. Be careful. When you get into all this stuff, and it's about who I am and where I'm from and all that stuff there. Be careful. You are a Christian. And be careful when people are saying stuff that Paul said, it don't edify you, because they ain't giving no Bible. You got people that bump their... Yes, they do. They like to talk. And there's no edifying in it. Paul said, don't listen to that. Where's your Bible? What are you talking about? He said, so do. He said, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. We're going to get to that. That's my subject title. He said, from which some have turned aside unto vain jangling. Paul said the word jangling means talking. Vain means it's producing nothing. He said some of them that are Christians have turned aside. And let me say this. Sometimes Christians can lose their way, as was the situation here at this congregation. Some of the members have lost their way. And let me give this out. Let's give people flowers while they can smell them. I want to commend everyone that is here today. You deserve flowers from the preacher. Why? Because for 2 years, as I said, these doors was closed. And during that 2 years, there are some that chose to go other places. That's their right. They made a choice. But I want to commend everyone here, because once the doors opened again, you say, this is your home. And you're here. That deserves commendation. I'll give it. For you, just you being here after 2 years. Because in the text, these people had lost their way. Yeah.
you know, having these doors closed 2 years and listening on conference call for 2 years and sermons on 2 years. Anyone can make a decision. So I want to say to each of you here today and those that are coming here, I commend you for your stick-to-itness, for saying that this is my home. Yeah. We may have to start over. Amen. You know, and those that follow sports, you understand that when you have an expansion team and when you're starting over, you are not able for the sake of discussion, you're not able at the time to do what other congregations who've been there for 40, 50, 60, 70 years are. Amen. Our doors was closed for 2 full years. But I thank God for those that have been faithful to the Lord during this time. You gave to the Lord. Because I remember, you still had things needed to be done. Amen, somebody. And I want to commend you on just the fact that you're here this morning. These people, from which some, having turned aside, Paul said, and they were designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they, well, they affirm. There are those that seek respect in the congregation because of what they think they know from the Bible. Be careful. Paul said it here. You got people in the church that want to tell you what the Bible says, and they don't know what they are teaching. You have a right to check on everything I preach. That's your right. And you have a right to question anything I say. And you want me to confirm it in faith, that means give me book, chapter, and verse. Yeah. Be careful with teachers. Yeah. Paul said that, man. You got to be careful. They don't understand what they're saying. And then some of us, if we're not careful, when we want to do what we want to do, we go to people who say what we want them to say.
That's right.
Yeah. I want to do this here. I want to be divorced. So I just find somebody that will side with me on divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God only gave one exception. Outside of that, I'm going to talk about some of the stuff we're doing now, today. Yeah. Be careful. That's what Paul was telling him. He said, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Any teacher needs to respect the law of God. Let me talk about something here today. It's not what man's Supreme Court says about abortion, but what the Supreme Court in heaven rules about life. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Let you do some study. Yeah. The man said that before it's an embryo and before it get to a certain month, you can abort the child, abort the fetus and do all of this stuff here. That's what man say.
That's right.
Yeah. But I just what the Bible say. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse is number 18, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with It wasn't no embryo. It wasn't no fetus. The Bible says she was found with a child. Mm-hmm. Don't matter what man said, what man ruled. Mm. And sometimes we get, well, what if a person was, you know, we get situational when it comes to that, situational ethics. Well, what if the person was raped by somebody and got pregnant? The Bible teaches me that's still that's a child. When you kill something that's human, that's
murder.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. And even some of us, no matter what position we take, because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says.
That's it.
The Bible says that before Mary had a sexual relationship with Joseph, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and that which she was carrying was a child.
That's it.
The Bible says. So be careful when you start thinking of scenarios or what about what if. You know, we do that. We do that. We make it situational. But the Bible is clear.
That's right.
Yeah. Bible is clear.
Fair.
You don't know how that child may bless that mother. You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, yeah, again, but we know that the law, now the law he was talking about the law of Moses, but we're talking about the law of God is good if a man use it lawfully. Paul said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of father and murderers of mother, for man slayers. He's saying, Rashad, when you look at the law, the speed limit law, let me just give an example. If I'm one to drive under the speed limit, that law not for me. That law is for the one that is lawless. That's the one that speeds, that drive a high rate of speeds and doing all stuff. It's not, notice he said, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the person that's ungodly and for the person that's sin, for the person that is unholy and profane. Paul said, those that kill fathers, those that kill mothers, those that are manslayers. Paul said, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men still, for lies, for perjured persons, and if there be, if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, it fits under this category. Paul said that. See, man, understand this here. That when it comes to the word of God, you have the law of God. The Apostle Paul notes sins both against God and mankind. See, when you don't have love for either, look at Matthew, let you do some homework. Matthew chapter 22. Let me show you this here. How can I do all that sinful stuff and do all that to people and do all that stuff here? Because remember, we're going to get to this next about you don't have the love. Because in Matthew 22 and verse number 36, when the lawyer questioned Jesus, asked him, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments
Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. See, when you don't love God and you don't love man, you will do anything. Yeah, you don't have love. That's why, let's get back to our text, and I'm going to share this, and this is your lesson, my subject title. That's why Paul said, now, I'm going back to Timothy 1:5. He said, now the end, the word end means the purpose of the commandment that he gave him is, notice now, is love. You got to have love. And it's out of something. See, when you don't love somebody, you can do wrong to them. You can hurt people. You can hurt people's feelings. You can say bad things about them. You can go around gossiping. You can go around trying to end your person's character. Why? Because you don't love them.
There you go.
You don't love them. And be careful. Everybody here don't love everybody. I'm talking about here. So you understand, I'm talking about here. Yeah, when you have a person keep coming to you and they always, as the young people say, play or hating on somebody else, they don't have the love that Jesus said is necessary. That's why when Paul said this, that's why I'm saying, he said, but the purpose of the commandment is, the word charity means love. Out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. When I said this here, I'm going to stay with it. If you acquire these three things, you own your way to heaven. What are these three things, Brother Stout? I'm glad you asked that question. First, you got to have love. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my, yeah. So love has to motivate you. Love has to be the driving force behind what you do. But when you don't love people, and some of us don't love each other, but Jesus said, if you love him, then keep his commandments. Starts with love, Paul said. You got to have love. Then he talks about what's a pure heart. A pure heart, and the word heart means mind. A pure heart is a mind that is able to keep out or away evil and sinful desire through obedience to the word of God. Give me some application, Brother Stout. Okay, I'll give you some. I'll talk about myself. When I was younger, I used to steal. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I know y'all. I know none of y'all. They never done nothing like that, but I'm talking about me. I used to go to the store, and I used to steal. I would take things that didn't belong. That's stealing. Well, you know it or not. But somebody said, well, we ain't got them, so I needed some from all that stealing. Yeah. So I used to take things that weren't mine. But then turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We got to make application to this thing here. How does this work when my heart becomes pure? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 28, Paul said this in his letter to the Ephesians. And that's the congregation where Timothy was the minister. He said, let him that steal no more. You've been doing it. Let me take my eyes around here, because some of us acting like we ain't never stole nothing before. So let me slow down this a little bit here. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, get a job, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he, the one that used to steal, now I got a job, may have to give to him that
need.
That's how, because Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If I got to develop a heart that's pure, I got to develop a heart, a mind that's able. When I see stuff that I want to do, that I desire to do, that I know that that's not right, the Word of God teaches me, and it keeps that stuff out of me or away from me. But now, guess what? If I don't have no word in me, and I'm not talking about being able to quote book, chapter, verse. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I need to have the Word of God in me to influence my life.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. I ain't got to quote, you ain't got to quote no Bible. But you know what the Bible says about something. I know now stealing is wrong. Yeah. I know it's wrong. So if I go take something from somebody that don't belong to me, that's wrong. I go to the grocery store and the checkout cashier give me more money than I was supposed to get. And I get to the car and I see that she gave me a couple of extra 20s when she should have gave me one. And if I ain't careful, I'm going to get on your conscience now. If I ain't careful, I'll say, well, God wanted me to have a blessing. You know, you some of y'all, they just, when you can. You know how you find something that's not yours. And then you start justifying and rationalizing stuff. But understand this, when you're trying to have a pure heart, you don't do stuff like that. I go back into the store and I say, ma'am, you made a mistake. What you mean? I know you meant to give me 2 ones, but you gave me 2 20s. This doesn't belong to me.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. And you give it back.
There you go.
Yeah. Anytime you take something that ain't yours, that's stealing. But the Word of God teaches me that. Yeah, when I did what I thought I wanted to do, I was big enough to do. But at some point, when my heart, I'm trying to get a pure heart, I'm keeping away from me holding out from me things that, notice now, anything that's evil and sinful. Sometimes you evil, you want to hurt somebody. You know, people out there now trying to hurt. That's an evil desire. When you want to wrong somebody and hurt somebody, those are evil desires. Christians don't hurt people. We love them. The Bible says, be as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Don't you ain't never seen no dove attacking nobody. Not only do you have to have a pure heart. And so understand this here. In order to develop that heart, let me show you how do you get that heart, Brother Sprout? Well, in Acts 15:9, it starts with here. Paul said, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what?
Faith.
Yeah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of. So to begin purifying your heart, you need the Word of God. You can't, well, I got, no, you don't have no pure heart if it's not according to the Bible.
A pure heart starts with faith.
No.
Not only that, you can't have pure heart unless you're baptized. Paul Peter said, seeing you have purified not only your heart, you purify your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of, see, when you are baptized, you are obeying the truth through the Spirit who gave it to men. And Paul said, now you're going to develop an unfeigned, now I'm talking about that, love of the brethren. See that you love one another. With a what kind of heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it should be on fire. So if I'm in the church and I don't obey the truth and I don't love the brethren and I don't love one another, then my heart ain't pure. That's simple. Your heart ain't pure.
Right.
Yeah. When you run around talking about people and saying things negative about people, your heart ain't pure. Because you don't do that. You block that stuff out. Even if I don't care for another person, I don't go around talking bad about them to nobody.
There you go.
That's right. But what do you do, Brother Stroud? You do what the Bible says. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Let me give us a prescription for this here. Yeah, what I do for the Bible, what I do, would you do what Jesus said do? And Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44. Not the fofo, but 44. Yeah. Now hopefully we apply it in the fofo. Jesus said, but I say unto you, Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then Jesus told us why we do it. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. What did our Father in heaven do? For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God allowed the sun to shine on the person that don't go to worship, as well as the person that go to worship. God send rain for the person to steal and the person that don't steal. Why? Because that's God. And if we want to be the children of God, we got to learn to pray for people. We got to learn to do good to people that hate us. We know, you should know, if the person shows you what person don't like you. They don't care for you. What I do, I love them. How do I love them? I bless them. Yeah, they have a flat tire there, and I see it, and I'm the only person here, and instead of me trying to get in my car and leave them there, I go over there, and I say, brother, you got a flat? You don't got a flat. Okay. Well, I have some tools in the car. I can help you with flat. Well, do it. Let me get in my car and I'll get this here. Because, see, I ain't dealing with your stuff. I'm dealing with my stuff. Yeah. And why you do this? The Lord said, look in Romans 12. Let me show you how this stuff works. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Look at Romans 12. I'm telling you why you do this. So you got to understand, sometimes the Bible tells us why we do stuff. Paul, when he wrote the Romans, in Romans 12, 8, let me start at verse 18. Not all verse 17, so you get this. I'm talking about a pure heart. The Bible says in Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, but provide
things honest in the sight of all men. He said, if it be possible, sometimes it ain't possible. He said, if it be possible, as much as lied in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, if it depends on me, whether me and you get along, we're going to get along. Yeah. He said, live peaceably with all men. Then he said this here. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, here's my responsibility, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but you overcome evil with what?
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that's Christian living. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's Christian living. When you can overcome that person hating you by doing good toward them. Mm. That's a pure heart. Let me close here. A good conscience. Good conscience. Let me get there with you. A good conscience, and notice the word good is important, because all of us got conscience. Everybody got a conscience. But a good conscience gives evidence to the mind of that which is right or wrong from an understanding of God's law. Doing that which is good and avoiding that which is bad. Yeah. So you got to have, all of us got conscience, but a good conscience, how can I say this here? When you have a conscience, your conscience have two streets that it can travel down. One of them streets is called moral. And another street is called immoral. Mm. Well, a good conscience will travel down that street of morality. You do what's right. Based on my understanding of God's word. And so your conscience now. But see, some of us ain't got no, our conscience is bad. We do whatever we want to do to whomever we want to do it to. But if you have a good conscience, your conscience basically stands there and it allows your thoughts to get checked in. And when something bad come in my heart, that conscience, a good conscience, busts out. Now you know you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know that's not good. Some of us have to work on our conscience. Hmm. Yeah. That's what Paul told him, say, look here, man, if you want to go to heaven, you got to have love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience.
That's it.
Yeah. Then he said, what the conscience is? Paul said in Romans 2:15, he said, he's talking about the Gentile, which show the works of the law, notice where it's at, is written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. Remember I told you, the conscience is the one that testifies, and their thoughts, the means while accusing or excusing one another. Now sometimes, if your heart is good, and you say something wrong, your conscience tells you, you need to apologize. And you'll go by that person and say, Buck, I talked to you for a minute. What? Look at me, I want to apologize about how I said what I said. Oh, man, it wasn't offensive. No, I felt bad.
Yeah,
because you got a conscience. If your conscience is good, when you wrong somebody, you go try to make it right. But if you don't have no good conscience, it don't matter what you do to people. And you don't care. And understand this here. Their members in the church don't care how they treat you.
No, sir.
But your conscience has to be good. That's why I gave you Matthew 5:44. You got to learn how to condition yourself to show love to people that don't love you. Some people are almost unlovable. However, God loves them, so we can too.
Yeah.
And then Paul said, as I close,
not only got to work on getting a pure heart, not only you got to work on your conscience being good. We all got conscience, but it got to be good based on the word of God. But Paul said also, you got to have faith that's unfeigned. That word unfeigned means showing or suggesting a sincere trust in God. You know, me and my family, we just went through something. I think I lost my dad, and we just had a family situation. And what we did, we went to God in prayer. And we trust God. But see, understand this here. In trusting God does not automatically mean that what you pray for, God is going to say yes to it. Nah. See, I didn't get to that in my lesson last week. That God can sometimes say wait. God can sometimes say no. Yeah. See, sometimes we think, well, I prayed to God. No. But God is looking at that too.
That's right.
Yeah. So we prayed to God about a situation. And God answered our prayers. And guess what? If he had not answered it in the affirmative, then the Stroud family have to simply deal with God's answer.
Amen.
See, sometimes we don't want to deal with God's answer sometimes. When he don't answer where we want it. But then you don't trust God. Because Peter said in that same letter, Peter said, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous. Yeah. God heard your prayer. If you read it, God heard your prayer. Yeah. But we got to learn, when Peter talked about patience is dealing with life on life terms. Yeah. What are you talking about, faith unfeigned? I get his scripture. Paul said in the second letter, we're going to get there, and we won't deal with it today. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me, he said, we dealt first in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice. He said, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul said that I know your sincere faith. Sometimes we have some seniors in here, some pillars in here. You've handed down your faith to your children, and your children have handed it down to their children. And so what you're seeing is the faith that you have shown them in your trust in God. No, I never seen grandma waver when stuff got tight. You know, granddaddy didn't waver when stuff started going down. When granddaddy lost a job, granddaddy went out and got another job. He didn't blame God for the situation and circumstances. I trust in God. As I said, I close. These three characteristics, if you acquire them and you live with them and they grow in you, Peter said, and grow. My heart can get purer. My conscience can get better, and my faith can get stronger. The Bible said, Paul says, if these three things be in you, you're going to heaven. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you may be sitting there, some people we have in the audience been coming with us and being the doors back open. You've been here and you're here. But I want you to know this. In Paul's letter to Timothy, notice what God said. Who will have all men to be saved from their sin. But in order to be saved from your sin, you got to come into the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth, Brother Stroud? Glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. Paul said, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. What is the gospel? Paul said, by which also the gospel can save you from your past sins. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless your belief in vain. Paul said, if I deliver unto you first of all, that which I also received, somebody had to teach me also how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. You got to understand that Jesus was on the cross, nailed to a cross. He died for our sins.
They pierced him in the side, according to John 19:34. Out came both blood and water. That blood not only was for our sin, but also it purchased the church. Then he said, secondly, after that, after he died on the cross, they buried Christ. Mm-hmm. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he said unto them, he rose again. He said three things. He died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Uh-huh. So Jesus said, it's necessary to preach the gospel. He said in Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel now. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You must imitate what Christ did. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here today, and if you don't respond to the gospel, you don't believe it. Mm. It's simple as that. You don't believe it. Because if you believed it, yeah. If somebody told you there was $1 million in your car, and you believe it, the first thing you do when you leave out of this building, you go into your because you believed it. The Bible teaches us, not only have to believe the Bible, you have to be baptized. You have to come up here, you have to make the confession found in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must make that statement. Then we will water baptize. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sin, turn from your sin, then you confess Christ to be the Son of God, and you water baptize. Notice what he said. I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And now, the Bible said, why tarry thou? Arise and be baptized. Notice now, your sins are not washed away until you are baptized. Amen. Then you can call on the name of the Lord. And then the Bible said, praising God, having favored all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as we say, all the saved people are in the church. What's the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ rules as their head. And then we had to find the scripture. He said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. If you are subject to the Savior's invitation, whether you want to obey the gospel or you want to respond to the message, we bid you to come as our brother come and sing our song of invitation to us. Thank you very much for your patience on this morning.
To be free from your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, old evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.